Welcome to episode 6 of the Tuesday Night Comics podcast. This is for new comic books coming out the week of February 12th, 2014. Is that right? Did I get
that? That is right.
Okay, cool. For some reason, I'm not getting my February dates correct. I'm glad I was right on that one.
Because it's an abbreviated month.
This 28-day month is just messing with me. So I'm Billy. With me always is Dave.
How you guys doing?
And we're here to talk about some new comics.
So, yeah, it's a pretty light week this week.
Yeah, this might be a short podcast.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that piqued my interest is this last story arc in Nightwing by Kyle Higgins. The book is ending, and I think he's pretty much writing almost up to the end. I think somebody else is taking over the last issue or two, but he pretty much wrote all the new 52 appearances of Nightwing in his solo title.
Yeah, and it's been what I thought, a successful series. We don't know what's going on with Nightwing other than he's a big-time victim in Forever Evil.
Yeah.
Not to spoil anything, but he has his identity revealed. This is, you know, all over the comics news pages. I feel like I'm not spoiling anything with that. And there is talk that Dan DiDio might finally get his way and off Nightwing.
Yeah, I feel like if there's any point in time that it might be okay to do it, it could be now.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's been so many Robins at this point that, you know, if
they just kill a Robin,
it's, I don't know if it's going to be such like a hard thing to get over.
Yeah, I don't know. If they kill Nightwing, I guess it depends on the story. I just don't see myself enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I'm pro for killing Nightwing. I'm just saying that I could see as far as how things are with how many Robins there are, how many people came in with Tim Drake or love Jason Todd or really want Carrie Kelly to take over or really loved Batman's son, Damian.
Right.
Dick Grayson, if he's gone, he's not like the only Robin character out there. Yeah. And I think DC could get away with that. It would be disappointing, but
yeah, I'm hoping it doesn't happen. I feel like it's such like a cliche that everyone knows that Dan DiDio in Infinite Crisis wanted to kill Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
Yeah, he was originally going to be the Death instead of Superboy.
Right.
It and had to come up with a death that would be just as powerful for the Trinity as Superboy.
Right.
As a Nightwing.
Right. But since then, I feel like the Nerd Rage fanboys who attack DC Comics in general and Dan DiDio in particular, they always go to that. And they're like, oh, Dan DiDio won't be happy until Nightwing is dead. And I feel as if DC is consciously playing off that now. Like, there's a term in wrestling called smart marks. Marks are the people who, like, fall for, you know, wrestling and believe that wrestling is real when it's really scripted. But then there are the smart marks who know that wrestling is scripted, but they still fall for, like, the press releases released by the company. And the company is still just messing with them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like this is to mess with the smart marks on that follow DC Comics and who are paranoid that Dan DiDio wants to kill their favorite character.
Yeah, I really feel like Dan DiDio gets a bad rap. He always, it doesn't matter what character it is, he gets blamed for it. It's like, Dan DiDio always hated the Giffen, the Mattis, Justice League. That's why they're all dying. And you're really, I think he's just trying to sell books. And that's his job. And
right.
I know he got a lot of crap for bringing Barbara Gordon out of her Oracle role and back into her Batgirl role. And people were saying that he didn't respect people who had, like, were in wheelchairs and were paralyzed in some sort of way. And there's a really good podcast with him and Kevin Smith on Batman on Batman.
Right.
And he goes into how he got into comics. And it was his, I believe, older sister who was disabled and was in a wheelchair. And she used to bring him to conventions and stuff. And you could tell when he was talking about it, really, like, hurt him that people thought that he didn't care about people with disabilities. Because it was something that was really, you know, close to him.
What I'm getting from this is really Dan DiDio hates his sister. Is that what you're saying, Dan?
Yeah, so he hates his sister. No, I feel like he gets a bad rap.
Yeah, but, I agree.
Anyway, yeah, I hope Nightwing doesn't die, but it looks like it should be an interesting story.
Yeah, he... The guy is not the head of DC Comics because he hates DC Comics. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, looking at Image Comics, we got Egos number two is coming out. Stuart Moore wrote that. The first issue came out, I believe, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and Stuart Moore is a great writer, and he is overlooked. He kind of reminds me of the guy who wrote Our Man, and he wrote Doom Patrol. No, but he's also associated with Grant Morrison.
I don't know. Mark, I have no idea. We could look it up, or we could just move on.
yes. Anyway, but they both were associated with Vertigo and wrote DC Comics at the same time. And him and Stuart Moore, they both seem like Grant Morrison's writers, but they have more of a consistent storytelling ability, where sometimes you read Grant Morrison and you're like, everything's coming from all over the place, it feels kind of shattered, I don't understand, I gotta read this 7 times. But like, Stuart Moore has those big ideas, but keeps a good narrative flow.
Tom Payer, that's who you're thinking of.
Yeah, Tom Payer, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Payer.
Yeah, but him and Stuart Moore, really enjoyed both of their work.
Also coming out from Image is the latest issue of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead is on a more than monthly schedule right now. They're doing their all-out war storyline, and it is I think the book's coming out every 3 weeks. I don't think it's coming out every two, but I'm pretty sure it's coming out every three.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're getting like a new book, or you're getting 2 books every 1.5 months.
That's awesome.
Charlie Adler is doing pencils, but I believe someone else is inking him just so that they can get these books out on time. And this all-out war storyline, like OMG, or even OMFG.
Really?
I was wondering.
I started to read the last trade, and I know where it's building to, and it looks pretty sick.
Yeah. Going on The Walking Dead right now, there's a big villain whose name is Negan.
He puts the governor to shame.
Yeah, when he first came on the scene, people called him, like, the Governor Light. This guy is, I would say, easily twice as crazy as the governor. In Walking Dead number 100, I know a lot of people still haven't read it yet because people read this book in big chunks. I'm not going to spoil who Negan kills, but my jaw dropped.
Really?
Yeah. That I remember the day specifically because I was supposed to drive to Pennsylvania. Well, not supposed to. I did. I drove to Pennsylvania that morning to go get my wedding license or my marriage license, and it was a Wednesday. So I immediately, as soon as I woke up, downloaded it on Comixology and read it before my fiance and I left the apartment, just so that I could. I was like, I can't go all day not knowing what happens in this issue. And then literally my jaw just dropped as I was reading it, and then had to rush out the door, you know, to go enable the happiest day of my life.
Yeah, I remember the day after you got married, I think I read the Wonder Woman that came out that week, and I was like, hey, read Wonder Woman on your honeymoon. It's so good.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that to my wife, and I was like, he's like, he knows you're on your honeymoon, right?
Well, I figured you could... You know, you probably have some downtime. I don't know.
Everyone has to use a toilet at some point.
Exactly. And your favorite writer as of recent, Rick Remender, Winter Soldier, Bitter March number one coming out this week.
Hey, Dave, you're freezing up.
Yeah, so are you. I lost you for a second.
Okay. So that's it with Walking Dead. Now, you were talking about Winter Soldier?
Yes, Winter Soldier, Bitter March number one, coming out this week. Looks really good. It's set in 1966.
Yeah, and it's written by Billy Favorite, Rick Remender.
Yes, and it has the original Nick Fury in it. And it has an awesome, awesome cover.
And, yeah, I'm really liking the cover to the Winter Soldier book. I did not know that it was taking place in the 60s, but that does intrigue me.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the typography on the cover really shows that, too, with how they work the Winter Soldier type.
Yes.
It looks like it's going to be a really good read. And do you know if this is going to be an ongoing or if this is just a miniseries?
I believe it's an ongoing.
Oh, really?
You know, ongoing this day, though, could mean 13 issues.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, Marvel seems to be doing everything in seasons right now, where unless like a book really takes off like an all-new X-Men, it's going 12 to 18 issues depending on what the shipping schedule is, and then they relaunch it with a new number one or just move on to something else.
And that's kind of nice because you could always go back to that book as a graphic novel.
That is kind of nice. It makes like looking at back issue bins so frustrating though, because ever since the 2000s, a lot of comics have used kind of generic covers where you don't really know what's going on in the book. And it's hard to figure out like what volume each issue number is attached to.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting that comic books are one of the only publications that don't start over at the start of the new year.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Every magazine, you know, right. Volume two, the second year,
yes.
And so on. Speaking of new number ones from Marvel, She-Hulk is coming out with a new book by writer Charles Soule.
I think it's Sule, or Soul. I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. But what's really cool about him is that he, like Jennifer Walters, the alter ego of She-Hulk, is a practicing attorney. His day job, I believe, I don't know what kind of law he works in. I think it's corporate law, but I really don't know. He works as a lawyer by day and then writes about three comic books a month at night. You know, that's like his side job.
Yeah, he must have a long commute with a worn-out keyboard.
Yeah, maybe he takes a long on railroad every day or something.
Yeah, possibly.
But he is putting me to shame. I don't know how he does it. I'm impressed by him. I hope we can get him on the podcast someday. I just want to pick his brain.
Yeah, I want to believe he has a zillion unpaid interns that do a lot of his work because that would make me feel better as a human being.
Yeah, and what's good and cool about this series is that he's a lawyer and he's writing about a lawyer. That would be like you writing a comic book about graphic designer
Kyle Rayner, maybe? Kyle Rayner?
I was thinking Steve Rogers, the Captain America. But yeah, Kyle Rayner would make sense too.
Yeah.
It really is like a light week this week. Nothing really else jumped out at me. Superior Spider-Man is just, you know, moving on to its conclusion in April. We got a new issue of that coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, nothing really, you know, caught my fancy.
Me either. So what'd you read this week, Philly?
I read Earth 2, number 20.
So did I.
I liked it. I thought it was really good. Not really good. I thought it was good.
I thought it was okay.
Okay.
I felt like it was good, but it felt like it just passed the time with needless talk.
Okay. I thought that the talk was good. I liked Batman's dialogue. I thought they were doing a good job setting him apart from his, you know, main Earth counterpart, and really, you know, setting him just not as like another bat clone. Like this Batman seems a little more distinct, though, you know, stereotypically gruff like every version of Batman.
And I think it was a good issue. It felt a little slow, and I think it might be because the last two issues with the annual and the number 19 went so quickly and so much happened that it slowed down, and I was like, what's happening? What's ha I want more to happen. I want more to happen. But yeah, I thought it was really good. I was a little iffy on the reveal of the Red Arrow identity.
Yeah, I agree about that because he is Connor Hawke. You know, the 90s Green Arrow who was introduced after Oliver Queen blew up in a plane.
Yes, he's Oliver Queen's illegitimate son.
Right.
And I was trying to think about Earth 2 as a Earth 2 book in the traditional sense, as they all have Golden Age legacies. And I thought, well, Oliver Queen, Golden Age character, his son Connor Hawke. I guess he's kind of that way. But then when I thought about it, I was like, I don't know. I don't know, because by the time that Connor Hawke was introduced, any ties to World War II or any of that had been wiped clean of Oliver Queen's origin.
Yeah, that, I agree 100% on that. It really seems that Earth 2 is becoming less about the home for the legacy or the home for the Golden Age characters of DC and more like DC's Island of Misfit Toys. Like, we're not sure where this character fits. Let's throw him to Earth 2.
Yeah, and it bums me out, but I enjoy it at the same time. I have mixed feelings about it.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely glad that there is a place for Connor Hawke, even if that character was initially not planned that way.
Yeah.
James Robinson had planned him to be a mix of Roy Harper and Oliver Queen, and was going to be named Roy McQueen. So I have mixed feelings about it. It's similar to the Red Tornado in Earth 2, who was planned to be a mix of Ma Hunkel, Maxine Hunkel, and John Smith, and now it's Lois Lane. And so there's a new writer, and he's got his own vision, and so I'm on board, but I'm a little like,
Yeah, no, I hear you. James Robinson's plans for the book were really interesting. I think Tom Taylor's doing a good job, though. I'm definitely, you know, keeping up on this book. It's funny, it's the DC book I'm most excited to read every month.
Yeah, same here. I mean, even though I get bummed out when it's not a Golden Age connection, Tom
Right.
Taylor's writing a great book. He's writing a great story, and I think everybody really should be picking it up.
Not many people know this, but Dave is actually 97 years old.
I'm Steve Rogers, guys.
Yeah. Hey, that's your super soldier serum right there in that glass, right? What else did I read? I read Forever Evil. Have you read Forever Evil?
No, I'm saving all the Forever Evil till it's over and I can buy
Okay.
it for a cheap price and not be too bummed out that I spent $4 an issue on David Finch art that I'm iffy on.
I hear that. I actually was thinking about dropping Forever Evil because I was enjoying the tie-ins in Justice League. I was enjoying the tie-ins in Justice League and Justice League of America more.
Well, the
This
art
issue
is
is
great in those issues.
yeah, especially the Justice League issues because you've got Ivan Reis and Joe Prado. And yeah, the Ivan Joe art team is my favorite at DC. But this issue was good. It wasn't worth picking up if you haven't read the first four, but if you have, like, you know, definitely go out and buy number five.
Yeah, I saw a preview of it. I saw Powering versus Sinestro, which
Yeah.
looked really interesting because Sinestro instills fear in people, and Powering's ring runs off of fear. So I'm looking forward to see how that plays out.
That was a very cool fight. I'm not going to spoil anything here. But that fight was easily the highlight of the issue.
I read Wolverine number one.
You know, I didn't get a chance to read that. How was it?
It was okay. It was okay. What was set up was good. I don't know if it's a great first issue, but I think it's going to be a great story. I was a little lost, and I felt like I spent $4 to be lost. I was like, what's going on? I don't know who these characters are. Wolverine, Storm, I know you guys. I don't know these other guys. Wolverine's acting like a mercenary.
Right.
And that's the hook of the book. Why is he acting that way? And so it could be pretty interesting. So I think I'm going to let it play out, read it later.
Okay.
But it looks like it's going to be good. And it's definitely a Wolverine story. And I find this to be a little closer to a Wolverine story than what Mark Millar did.
Old Man Logan and that kind of thing?
No, Old Man Logan I found to be a good Wolverine story, even though it's set in the future. The one before that where he's taken over and his body is just being used.
Oh, Enemy of the State?
Yeah, like I thought it was a great story, but I didn't feel like it was really a Wolverine story.
Right, it was like everyone versus Wolverine.
Yeah, who's not actually Wolverine's personality.
Right.
It's just his body, so.
Yeah, I did enjoy that story a lot. I liked Enemy of the State a lot. Awesome art by John Romita Jr. in there.
Yeah, I mean, great story, just not a Wolverine-focused story
or a
Wolverine book. My favorite Wolverine story was Derek Robertson and Greg Rucka.
Okay. That was from the early 2000s.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
I don't know what my favorite Wolverine story is. I'd have to think about that.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that lately, about my favorite Wolverine story, because everybody... loves Wolverine even if they don't read the comics, and they always say, hey, what would be a great Wolverine story to read? And you know, Enemy of the State, great story, but I don't know if people would say, wow, I feel like I really know Wolverine after that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, if somebody was like, recommend me one Wolverine comic, I don't know what I'd send them to.
Yeah.
I'd probably, you know, it might be dated though, because all my favorite Wolverine stuff is like 1980s and early 1990s X-Men stuff, you know, from basically Mutant Massacre through to when Jim Lee then was on, you know, Jim Lee's run on the X-Men.
The super expository dialogue.
Yeah, that's the thing. That does not age well.
No, not at all. Speaking of recommending for people who don't read comics, I read Avengers Assembled numbers 1 through 8 this week.
And that's written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by Mark Bagley, right?
Correct. It was Mark Bagley's return to Marvel Comics after a stint at DC doing the Justice League books.
Right.
And I think a weekly comic, because he's so quick.
Yes. Yeah, he did the Trinity weekly comic, I think.
Yes, with Kurt Busiek.
Now this book, I remember the team in it is based on the Avengers movie, and this was marketed as, I believe, a book to appeal to people who saw the movie and wanted to read more Avengers stories.
Yeah, I think that was the problem. When I read the book, I felt like it was a poor sequel to the Avengers movie. Or maybe not a poor sequel, but just a, hey, this is Marvel's place to go to because it has Thanos in it. It has the Avengers. And you saw Thanos at the end of Avengers, and they bring in the Guardians of the Galaxy who are going to be in that new movie. And everything seems like it was marketing or being marketed at me. And it didn't really feel like much of a story.
Okay. Yeah, I actually, it's funny, I have that trade, which I think collects the first 8 issues, sitting in my apartment right now, and I haven't read much of it yet. I got through the first issue, and I've just been reading other things.
Yeah, so it didn't feel like a great story. It was okay.
Yeah, the first issue didn't grab me either. Now, Bendis and Bagley are no longer on that title. I believe Kelly Sue DeConnick is writing it, and it ties in a lot to her Captain Marvel series. And I've heard nothing but good things about that, though.
Yeah, I'm interested to read that. I think that might be a good read after he leaves. And I really like Brian Michael Bendis.
Me too.
And I'm okay on Bagley's art. I feel like it's rushed a lot of times. I don't know if that helped me not like it as much. It does remind me a little bit of George Perez and Dan Jurgens, and how he draws his bodies and faces, but it just seems like sketchy.
Yeah, I get that. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's a bad artist by any means.
No, not at all. Actually, yeah, I think Bagley's great. One of my favorite Spider-Man artists of all time.
Yeah. I've never read Ultimate Spider-Man, but I'm interested to read it because everybody talks about how great an artist he was on there. And I was iffy on him on Avengers and his run with James Robinson on Justice League.
Mm. Yeah, he's good. He's really good on Ultimate Spider-Man, like especially when drawing the superhero fight scenes and stuff. My quibble with Bagley is the way he draws people in their everyday clothes, which is my quibble with like a lot of comic artists. A lot of comic artists, like, you know, they'll draw Peter Parker in basically a baggy t-shirt and baggy jeans. And I feel like that's why in the 90s we had so many comic book characters who had ponytails. It's because like these artists had ponytails. They like, if you look at most comic artists, I think they just look at themselves in the mirror and they're like, oh, oversized t-shirt, okay. That's why I'll draw this guy's secret identity in. And this is why I love Phil Immonez so much, because his costume work just on people's like everyday clothes, it looks like the clothes that real people wear, you know?
Yeah, I feel the same way with John Romita Jr.
Okay.
Especially in his Kick-Ass books. He really picks up on what kids are wearing. I feel like they're real kids.
Yeah, and that was the only issue I've ever had with Bagley, and that's always been like a craw in my side. All right, I think I'm mixing metaphors there. I don't even think that's right.
I was picking up what you're putting down.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Yeah, but overall, I think Bagley is great. I've been reading his stuff since Amazing Spider-Man back in the early 1990s. You know, I have a Spider-Man sketch from him. I think, you know, he's easily like one of my top artists.
Yeah.
Now let's see. We got some big comic news this week. The Vision has been cast in Avengers: The Age of Ultron, and you know, drum roll please. It's I'm sorry. The Vision is none other than,
there you go,
Paul Bettany, who voiced Jarvis in Iron Man and Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3 in The Avengers.
Yeah.
I thought Jarvis was going to become Ultron. That was my theory going into Avengers 2.
But I think this points to that theory that Tony Stark is going to create Ultron if he's also possibly creating the Vision.
So here's my new theory. Okay. Ultron is going to be a sentient Iron Man armor.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because Ultron kind of looks like an Iron Man armor, you know, in that he's all metal.
Yeah.
And I think Ultron is going to become a sentient Iron Man and either is going to give Jarvis a body and Jarvis is going to rebel against Ultron, or Jarvis is going to create his own body out of like another Iron Man armor and be the one who's able to like come in at the last minute and save the Avengers.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see the romantic tension between him and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, like, that should be interesting.
If they go with that robot mutant love story.
Yeah. That actually will be interesting. What's really interesting too about Scarlet Witch in the new Avengers movie is that Scarlet Witch is also going to be in the new X-Men movie that's coming out this spring.
Yeah, and same thing with Quicksilver.
Yeah, and both of them are played by different actors and actresses.
Yeah. It'll make Avengers versus X-Men the movie. Very interesting.
Yeah. Very confusing.
Yeah.
Maybe we could write off the X-Men universe being as the ultimate Marvel universe. Although I guess if you've got Sam Jackson in the Avengers as Nick Fury, I guess he's the ultimate Marvel universe.
That's true.
Yeah.
Evangeline Lilly from Lost cast
Yeah.
an Ant-Man in an unnamed role.
I'm
Think she's going to
assuming Janet
be the
Van
Wasp?
Dyne. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm guessing. So John Romita Jr., we were talking about him a little bit ago, and he had some big news this week as well. He's going to be on Superman with Geoff Johns.
That's really big news, because when was the last time John Romita Jr. drew something outside of Marvel that wasn't like a creator-owned book?
The Punisher versus Batman.
Oh wow, you actually looked it up. That's amazing.
I read that this week. Somebody else looked it up, but
Okay,
I did think
that's
that. I was like, hey, when was the last time he actually did a DC character? And then they wrote that, and I was like, well, there you go.
really funny. That was a long time ago. I was in high school, I think, or maybe college when that came out. That was in the 90s.
Yeah, I feel like I was in middle school.
Yeah, I think that was like, that was like a 1994 or 1995 comic, I believe.
Yeah, I think,
Because I'm
it was
pretty
that
sure.
Captain Crony's Cards and Comics.
I think those came out. I think Marvel put one out and DC put one out, and one had Bruce Wayne Batman, the other one had Azrael Batman in it.
Yes,
So that's why it'd have
Jean-Paul
to be like,
Valley.
yeah, it'd have to be like 94, 95.
Which, funny thing, my whole childhood I read as Jean-Paul Valley.
Oh yeah, well that's like Banshee, Sean Cassidy. When I was a kid, would always call him Scene Cassidy.
So yeah, so I'm really excited for John Romita Jr. and Geoff Johns.
Yeah, Joffrey, the
Yeah.
giraffe from. Yeah, and I think when I was 7 and started reading X-Men, I might have pronounced it Unkeny.
Uncanny X-Men, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, and then I think my dad corrected me, and I asked him what uncanny meant, and he was like, "There's the dictionary." Yeah, big news. Paul Bettany is the Vision, Geoff Johns and John Romita Jr. on Superman, and also this kind of fell by the wayside. The Scott Snyder, Jim Lee book, Superman Unchained, is coming to an end. That will not be continuing.
Yeah, I guess they had one story and they're gonna bring it to a close.
Yeah, that book is pretty much printing money. DC's hottest writer and like one of the coolest artists of all time.
Yeah, and they brought a really cool character into it, a somewhat villain working
Yeah.
with General Lane.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like it's a good idea that they stopped it because if they would have left the book, I feel like the book would have continued with another artist and writer, and then it would eventually just dwindle out.
It would just be another Superman book. Kind of
Yeah.
like Batman The Dark Knight, or one of the Bat books that's not the main Bat title run.
Or anything that Geoff Johns leaves.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I feel like anything Geoff Johns leaves, it just all of a sudden takes a sales dip. Because
It's like
nobody
a.
knows what to do after Geoff Johns comes in again and does the definitive version of the character.
Yeah, it, he it, it yeah his leaving Teen Titans was the worst thing that ever happened to the Teen Titans.
Yeah, I would say his leaving any book is the worst thing that happened to any book.
Yeah.
His leaving JSA, worst things happened to the JSA. His leaving Hawkman just dropped. It was awesome when he was writing it.
Yeah,
Then
that's very true.
Flash, after he left Flash, it was canceled.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, Flash went, what, 13 issues after he left the book.
Pretty much. It was like, what, Geoff Johns isn't on the
Yeah.
book?
And they killed the Flash, only to bring him back like a couple of months later.
Yeah, this past Saturday, speaking of no longer Geoff Johns helmed books, Green Lantern had a sale. And it was all the post-Green John's books, which I think is enticing people to read them, which I'm very interested in reading the Red Lanterns.
Me too. But I really want to read Red Lanterns. I've read the first issue of, not Red Lanterns number one, but the first issue of this new Guy Gardner going undercover in the Red Lantern story arc.
Yeah, and that's also written by Charles Soule, right?
Yes, I believe you're right.
And so I picked up the Red Lantern stuff. I'm excited to read it.
Me too. I was surprised they even put the Villains Month issues on sale for 99 cents.
Yeah, but it was a very cool one-day sale because of the date that it fell on, 2/8/14.
Which to every Green Lantern fan is the sector that Hal Jordan comes from, or Hal Jordan protects.
Yes, 2/8/14.
Yeah, that you had to explain that one to me. I was like, you're like, well, you know why they're doing the sale. I was like, no, I don't. And they're like, today's, you know, Saturday was 2/8/14. And I'm like, oh, nice. That totally, like, flew over my head.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I should brag that it didn't fly over my head or...
Yes, yeah. All right, well, that brings us to the end of episode 6 of the Tuesday Night Comics podcast. You know, feel free to send us, leave us your feedback in the comments pages. Let us know what you're reading. If we're not talking about a book that you want us to talk about, we will. Just, you know, let us know what they are.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Later.